They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A business school professor tells the boss, just shut up. Don't miss that in a few minutes. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Some American mayors today are holding what they're calling a day of action to warn of the risks to their cities if Congress and the president repeal the Affordable Care Act without an effective replacement. More than 50 mayors are hosting town halls and other events pressing Washington to preserve key parts of the law that have helped reduce the percentage of uninsured people in America to a record low. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
As a conservative Republican, Mesa, Arizona Mayor John Giles would like to see the Affordable Care Act reformed, but he says repealing it outright would leave tens of thousands of his constituents without insurance and drive up uncompensated health care costs at his city's hospitals and clinics.
This is particularly important to mayors because when the federal government fumbles, it is the state and local government that really suffers the consequences.
Some of the financial consequences are direct. Eric Garcetti, a Democrat, is the mayor of Los Angeles.
If we're going to go back to the days where uninsured people call 911 and use a city firefighter, paramedic, and an emergency room as an approach to health care, that's going to get very expensive very quickly.
There's also a larger economic impact. Garcetti says reduced spending on health care could cost L.A. County 63,000 jobs and an estimated $5.8 billion in gross domestic product. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The big Swiss engineering company ABB said today $100 million is down the drain after it discovered what it called massive criminal activity at its South Korean branch. A senior employee there vanished February 7th. ABB does automation, robots, and builds entire power grids. Six Flags reports profits this morning. It's one of the top five players in the amusement park industry. Disney's the biggest, no surprise. Six Flags is starting to hold job fairs for its prime summer season, but as Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports, in today's tighter labor market, companies like this could have trouble finding the workers they need.
The amusement park industry employs about 135,000 workers, and much of the work is seasonal, according to the research firm Ibis World. It's a labor-intensive industry that needs workers for things like selling tickets and concessions, operating the rides, and entertaining the crowds. Wages at amusement parks have been ticking up, a sign of labor demand, and it could be harder to hire workers this year. Randall Eberts is president of the W.E. Upjohn Institute for Employment Research.
The fast food chains and others will be hiring as well.
Their offers of permanent jobs could trump the attractiveness of a short-term gig operating roller coasters. Merrick Masters is a labor expert at Wayne State University. He says automating more of the jobs at amusement parks might be a longer-term solution to the difficulty of finding workers.
But it's not something that can occur overnight.
Some of the jobs Six Flags parks are recruiting for? Actors, drummers, and superheroes. I'm Annie Baxter from Marketplace.
Who is a better manager at work? The preening soloist sucking the air out of the room, or the quieter one who sees it as an ensemble? Some business school professors, including Adam Grant at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School, measured introverts versus extroverts as leaders. I got Professor Grant to tell me the story of the national pizza chain they studied.
We got the store leaders to fill out a survey about where they fell on the spectrum from introverted, you know, quiet, reflective, to extroverted, outgoing, assertive, gregarious. And then we tracked their store profits over multiple months. And we found on average there was no difference between the profitability of stores led by introverts and extroverts, even after we controlled for a whole host of factors, like are you located on a college campus, for example.
Okay, but what might account for that?
Well, it turns out that introverts and extroverts are effective in leadership roles under different conditions. So if you have really passive employees, people who are waiting for direction from above, you know, they're looking to be told what to do, extroverts are great at providing a vision and a strategy and energizing them to step up and contribute. And we found, indeed, that extroverts, when they had passive employees, their stores were about 16% more profitable than introvert stores. But what if you have proactive employees who take initiative to bring new ideas, to make suggestions, to come up with better ways of getting work done? Under those circumstances, we actually found that introverts brought in 14% higher profits. The logic is pretty simple, which is extroverts love to be in the center of attention. They like to command the room. And they often felt threatened when their proactive employees were bringing ideas to the table. And they tend to shut them down, which meant that those people were less motivated and also they got fewer good ideas. Whereas the introverted leaders were very open, they were willing to listen, they took better suggestions, and they left their people feeling more valued. So there is such a thing as an introverted leadership advantage.
So if you want good ideas to percolate up from the bottom, a leader who's an introvert might be your person.
Yeah, it's amazing how true that is. And, you know, I think the advice to some of the extroverts would be, you know, shut up. But, you know, I do think that there's some truth to this. I think it's not a coincidence that in the tech sector, where we're more dependent on new ideas and innovation coming from anywhere in the organization, we've seen so many introverts rise to leadership roles, whether it's Mark Zuckerberg, Larry Page, Bill Gates, Elon Musk. They listen a lot, as opposed to always giving orders to people below.
Adam Grant is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. Adam, thank you.
Thank you.
His latest book, Originals, How Nonconformists Move the World, is just out in paperback. Also on the Marketplace Morning Report today, the water mess goes way beyond Flint, Michigan. If you miss our report from Kettleman City, California on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org later on. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.